We read the Holy Scriptures together this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we will read the first 15 verses of this chapter. The text this morning on the installation of the elders and deacons is verse 14. God's Word in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. To this point we read the scriptures this morning. The text, as I said, is verse 14, which has its eye specifically on the office bearers. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You note with me, congregation, that in verses 12 and 13, the eye of the Holy Spirit and of the Apostle Paul is upon us as a congregation, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The Word of God comes to the congregation, know them. The word is know them, appreciate them, and esteem them very highly for the work that they do. But then, in verse 14, the eye of the Holy Spirit and the apostle look directly upon you and speak to you who are ordained this morning. You, brethren, this is what you must do. Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient to all men. In those words, though we may apply them this morning to deacons and elders, those words, though, do refer specifically to the elders. That becomes plain when in verse 13 or verse 12, he refers to the office bearers as those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. That word over you in the Lord is a reference to one of the two words that in the New Testament is used for the office of elder. In the New Testament, the first word that is used for elder is elder, and it refers not simply to an older person, but it refers more to his characteristics as one who is stable and steadfast and experienced in the faith. So that's one word for elder in the New Testament. The other word for elder in the New Testament is the word overseer, and that's the word that is in verse 12. They are over you, overseer. You remember that Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, to the elders of Ephesus, he says to them, "Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers." So this word overseer, over you, are among you and over you and admonish you, is a reference especially to the office of elder, not exclusively, but especially to the office of elder, and therefore the exhortation of verse 14 is directed especially to the elders. The duties that are given in verse 14 of the office of elder are not exhaustive. And so that's why it was a very good thing for us to read the form of installation of elders and deacons, as well as the formula of subscription. Because it becomes plain, maybe, in those duties that are listed in verse 14, that Ephesus might not have had a pastor. The three duties that were listed in the form very nicely were, first of all, that an elder is called to have the spiritual oversight of the church of God. We read, number one, first, to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to you, and diligently look whether everyone properly deports himself in his conversation and in his life. So, first of all, they have an oversight over our spiritual life, that we walk faithfully before the Lord. Then the second duty that was given in the form was that all things be done decently and in order, that all things which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, that you are ready to see that that happens, and that you are ready with good counsel and advice to serve all Christians with this good counsel and advice. And then, if you remember with me, there was a third duty given to the elders, which is not directly mentioned in our text. And that's the one that pertains to the office of the minister. It is the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the minister of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church. So the three duties are oversight, the good order of the church, and the teaching and the life of the minister. And that third one especially is out of concern for the church, so that the church will be edified. The elders' responsibility is to take oversight of the office of the minister, to see that he faithfully preaches the word of God, and that his own life is an example to others. As I say, that particular duty, which is a biblical duty, is not listed for us this morning in this text, perhaps because there was no pastor in Ephesus or in Thessalonica. We do want to look at these duties that are placed before the elders in this text this morning. Our theme is elders exhorted to take up their labor. And we want to note three things: with whom they labor, secondly, how they are to labor, and finally, for whom they labor. Elders and deacons, both of you, you labor with your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. We need to note the parallel here in the passage. Verse 12, and we beseech you, and the reference is obviously the congregation, brethren. The congregation, brethren. And then note the exhortation, we exhort you, brethren. So both congregation and office bearers are called brethren. And so the Holy Spirit here is drawing the attention between the relationship of the church and the office bearer. That's on the forefront of the mind of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we are of one family in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very striking because seven times, we didn't read the whole chapter, seven times in that chapter, the apostle uses brethren. At the end, holy brethren. And then if you read through these epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you'll find him using that word brethren to describe the church more than any other epistle. So, with whom do deacons and elders and pastor labor? They labor with brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we view these men as a congregation? We view them as brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not now, although true, that we are the body of Christ united, but we are a family in Jesus Christ. If I may say, we are all taken from the same spiritual DNA. We are brethren. We are one family in Christ. We have one blood of Jesus Christ and one faith and one grace and one spirit. We have all been adopted by one Lord Jesus Christ. The congregation is the congregation of the family of God. Out of that family, this congregation has chosen these six men and the other office bearers and called them as their brethren to these offices. And as brethren, you are called. You are to view the congregation as brethren. You must view them as brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must view the congregation as your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Congregation, is that the way you view them? Do you see them as your brothers in the Lord? God this morning did not send angels into the offices of Jesus Christ, but we were called of Christ to choose them out from among ourselves. Notice verse 12, to know them. We have chosen because we know them in this family. God didn't send angels. In the Old Testament, there was the ministry of angels among God's people in a direct way. Now it is not in a direct way. Angels do minister to us because we are the heirs of salvation. But God does not send angels to minister over the church of God, but he sends, well, one reason he doesn't do that is because if he would send angels, they would scare us out of our wits, first of all. And then secondly, and here's the important reason, which comes back to the word brethren, he doesn't send angels because angels, for all of their glory and beauty, cannot really understand something about you, what it is to be a sinner. In other words, they cannot commiserate over what is sin. So God says there must be brothers who can commiserate with us and we with them. So that word, we exhort you, brethren, in our text means that, first of all, these office bearers out of the church family are like us in the pew, and therefore they are sinful of themselves. They are not spiritual elite. We have chosen them because we believe that God has given to them, and we've seen the evidence of these spiritual gifts in them and the ability of good judgment, and now we're going to pray for them that God will use them in their offices. But we realize that they are men like us. Moses served 40 years in the wilderness, the meekest of all men. And he lost his cool, became angry at the people of God. David was a man after God's own heart. But in spiritual laziness and apathy, he committed adultery, he lied, and he murdered. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Peter evidenced outwardly courage. He was crucified upside down for his Lord Jesus Christ. But of himself, he constantly kept putting his feet in his mouth, and he denied the Lord before a little girl. And Paul says to Ephesus, "I was with you in weakness and in tears." Elders are men like we are, and they need our prayers. Deacons are men as we. But that also means for the office bearers this morning, this word brethren means that those with whom you labor are also of like passions as you. That we too are sinful people of God. We are not, the congregation here is not perfectly sanctified. We are, in the words of Scripture, foolish sheep who stray. We are, in the words of Scripture, carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, very carnal often in our lives. We are in need of shepherds who come to seek and to find us. We like to hide our weaknesses and our sins. We sit in the church and the appearance is that we are the people who certainly have things together in life. But don't be fooled by that. They are of like passions as you are. They are no different than you are. And upon every one of the sheep of God, there is written, sometimes even upon our face, pain and guilt. Sometimes we are fallen into lust and hatred. Sometimes we are seized by depression and anxiety or hate. We are born, elders and deacons, congregation, minister. We are born sinners. We are raised by sinners. We marry sinners. We have children who are sinners. And we die aware that we are sinners saved by his wonderful grace. And so the elders come into as sinful men, appointed by God through the family of the church. They come into a sinful church. That's realistic. Elders and deacons then are not just people who are above the congregation or different in makeup than the congregation or don't struggle with the sins that are in the congregation. But we are among brothers and sisters appointed by Christ to be ministers unto us, men who can commiserate, suffer with, know the sins and trials which we face. But this is very encouraging. This is very comforting. This word brethren, this whole idea of the relationship of the office to the church, this is very comforting. This is how God will have his church cared for. Once again, not with perfect spiritual giants, faithful, humble, prayerful men of God, chosen by the brothers and sisters to their office, but called to work among us, among the precious brothers and sisters in Christ. So we begin with the question, who do you labor with? How do you view the church? Brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how you must view them. You do not view them as a bother, but as a brother in the Lord Jesus. And how do we view them? Brethren. Brethren. Now note with me that the apostle now goes specifically to who we labor with and begin to characterize us now as a congregation and characterize us as a congregation who are in need of especially four things. We're in need of correction, we're in need of comfort, we're in need of care, and we're in need of patience. There are four characteristics of those with whom you labor in the text. Those four characterizations are unruly, warn the unruly, admonish literally the disorderly, unruly, feeble-minded, which means really feeble-hearted, weak, which refers especially to spiritual weakness. And then finally, he says, and show patience. So therefore, the congregation, all of us are characterized as those who are people in need of a whole lot of patience. Let's look at those four. We elders work, first of all, with the unruly. Warn the unruly. That's the disorderly. And that word unruly here is a military word, which means out of step in the march. And the idea is that the church of God, saved by Christ, is in march with God, in march with the Savior, with his word. We want to keep in step with the Savior marching as the army of God. In fact, the apostle has said in chapter 4 of this epistle, he's so to speak used that figure and said, as a church, we are an army who have received our marching orders from the Lord. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, chapter 4, verse 1, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that as ye have received of how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. The word walk there is march. The unruly are those who are out of step with the will and the walk that is pleasing to God. Those, if you've watched a march, and I'm sure anybody who's been in the military, know that when someone's out of step, especially if they're in the front line, that's disruptive to the whole thing. It gets everybody out of step. And so this is the reference to members of the congregation, and these are not specific people. These things can be true of us at any time. We all, as we saw last Sunday, we all are filled with anarchy against law, which is exactly what it is to be unruly. But very often, the congregation or members show the whole congregation as an attitude, or people in it are rebellious to the Word of God. Vocal criticisms, anger, bearing a grudge in the congregation, unforgiving, falling into bitterness, jealousy. And all of these things quickly spread like someone out of step when they're marching. And there in Thessalonica, if you look at verse 11 of chapter 4, Thessalonica, those believers thought that the Lord Jesus was coming almost immediately, so some of them quit their job when he didn't come, they didn't have anything to eat. They began to beg from other members, and the result was verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. And then if you look at the second epistle, the third chapter. The apostle uses that word in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. They were not working, but are busy bodies, gossipers, involved in other people's business, disorderly. So that's first of all what the elder must work with. Secondly, the apostle says, comfort the feeble-minded. The feeble-minded are not those who are mentally impaired. Although I'd like to just pause a moment, wish I had more time to develop this, perhaps some other time. I believe there is a ministry that we must not neglect as a congregation and as office bearers among those who have mental afflictions and trials, who are impaired, that this not be neglected among our fellowship, that it not be made to feel as some shame among us, or that there's nothing we can do about these things. We are one family, and we care for those who are mentally, who are impaired, physically impaired. But the reference is not to that. The reference is really here to the faint-hearted or the weary. It's a reference to someone who is under a lot of stress and load and fearful, someone who is depressed, someone who is despairing, ready to give up. And the reference here in the epistle is that, if you look at chapter 4, 13 through the end of the chapter this morning when you get home, the reference is that because they were under this false doctrine that Jesus was going to come at any moment, that those who had lost a loved one in death were hopeless for that loved one because they thought you had to be living, physically living, to participate in the return of the Lord. They had a lack of understanding in the truth. And so the apostle says, you need to work with those who are fearful and anxious and despairing. And then he says, number three, you must support the weak. And the word weak there is not simply a physical weakness. Certainly that is part of the calling of a deacon, to work with those who are weak of the body. But the weak here is especially a word referring to spiritual weakness. And it's referring to those periods of spiritual weakness that we all as a congregation go through when our faith is weak. We can be weak. God's people can be weak in how we respond to sins committed against us. We can be weak in our own perception as members of the church of ourselves, of assurance of our salvation. We need to be supported. We need to be led. We can be weak toward a particular sin that we have fallen into, adultery, addiction of some kind of sin. Support the weak. And finally, be patient unto all men. We must be, the work of the elder and of the deacon deals with those in the congregation who need patience. Is there anybody here this morning who feels that they're excluded in that we don't need to have people to be patient with us? Do we think, yeah, I have to be patient with other people? I get that. But really, people don't have to be too patient with me. Do you think you need people to be patient with you? Therefore, he says, be patient with all men. We all need patience. People who fall back into the same sin, who do the same foolish thing over and over. God's people have a chronic problem. It's a chronic problem with sin. And as we come to know God's people, we see that each one of us has perhaps our own besetting sin. And therefore the apostle says, elders, deacons, know who you labor with. And this is where you begin. Brothers and sisters, brethren. And then warn the unruly, the rebellious in our hearts. Pay attention to those who are of a faint heart. Care for those who have weakness and show patience to all men. Now let's look specifically at what that labor will be. Warn. I said it was basically correct, comfort, care, and be patient. Warn, comfort, support, be patient. That's the work that you must do. And when we look at these four, these are not four isolated things, but these things go together. Warn the unruly. The word warn here means admonish. And it means the word in which you put someone into mind of God's holy word, to instruct them either for the first time or for the repeated time to bring that truth of the word of God again to the person, that truth of the word of God that is not being followed. And so it means to warn, means to counsel with the word of God and to counsel that person because that person is out of step, not walking as they should. They are heading in the ways of destruction and sin, and to counsel in such a way as to claim them back, as to bring them back, draw them back into the proper way. Now that warning must not come in the form of a hammer, but it must come in the firmness of love and wisdom and much prayer. We must admonish. We must warn people. We must warn the unruly. We must warn those who are feeble-hearted and those who are weak. But that's not a hammer. That's bringing the truths of God's word, which means that an elder has to study the mysteries of the faith and needs to be an approachable man. Someone others will approach. Don't have time to go into that, but read 1 Thessalonians 2, the opening verses where Paul characterizes how he worked among the Thessalonians and how he says, verse 7, we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her child. Verse 8, we were affectionately desirous of you. Verse 11, we exhorted and comforted you and charged every one of you as a father doth his son. The second work is comfort. Comfort with the scriptures. Elders and deacons, comfort with the scriptures, which requires a knowledge of the word of God, an increasing knowledge of the word of God. That's the object of your study, the word of God. But it also requires a knowledge of the sheep. And note with me that that's what the apostle is getting at when he says to the congregation, know them which labor among you and are over you. Know them which labor among you. Among you. So you labor among the sheep. That is, you get to know them. You get to know them in the love of Christ. And to comfort means that you come alongside of them. The word comfort in Scripture is come alongside another person. And you come alongside another person to comfort them. You get to know them. You ask them questions. You listen to them. And then you prayerfully apply the Word of God. Then it says support. Support the weak. And that word refers to clinging to someone. Not so much is the picture of supporting a person up the stairs, but the picture here of support is literally holding to someone who is drowning, to someone who can't make it on their own, to someone who might even fight against the person who's trying to help them, to someone who perhaps has been abandoned by others, and there's no one there to support them. And in this work, the elders and deacons call upon the congregation yourself to be active, to help. And so we're so thankful for things like helping hands, and more as a congregation, in personal ways to help one another. The elders, however, seek to hold on spiritually, to grab hold of, and to help, to support. And then finally, the work is patience. Be patient to all men. Applies equally to deacons and to elders. This word patience is endurance. It's conviction and love under control. It does not stop with difficulties, resistance, or criticism. They labor among us day and night. They are persistent. So patience, biblical patience, is not to put up with something in the sense of not addressing some weakness, some unruliness, to put up with it. If that's the definition of patience, then it's not a virtue, but it's a sin. Then that would be dishonesty. That would be, if not to address it in that sense, to put up with it, that would be dishonesty. That would be the neglect of the calling of a deacon, of an elder. But patience is to address it wisely, persistently, staying at it, same issues, same people, walking down the same path with the same people, ups and downs, assured that God will lead. Impatience for an office bearer, for a minister, for an elder, for a deacon, is when we take it personally. Impatience comes when we try to do this with our own strength. And we say, here's the solution. This will solve it. Do this. We look at our own strength to solve it, but it doesn't work. And we become frustrated and impatient. Patience is the strength of the Lord in our labors. Patience is when you think of how patient the Lord is with you and me, of how the Lord goes out at night after that one sheep, of how the Lord bears our afflictions and imperfections. For whom do you labor? We could say, for the congregation, and that's yes. Elders and deacons and pastor must labor for the congregation because they love the congregation. But that's not the answer of the text. The answer of the text is the Lord. We read in verse 12, labor, they labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And so the office bearers are being reminded that the church is the Lord's. And this is the encouragement that is given to us in the Word of God. We do grow weary when we go forth in our own strength. Strength is when we do it as unto the Lord. Not out of ourselves, but as unto the Lord. And so as unto the Lord means that we will bring the Word of God. We will confront the issues that need to be confronted. To do it as unto the Lord reminds me of the pastor, Quartering, who's in glory, who said to me many years ago, he said to me as a minister, you are not called to be successful. You are called to be faithful. You are not called to be successful. That doesn't mean that you don't wish for the prosperity of God's people. You are called to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord. To work in His strength, to bring His word, to represent Him, to follow His way, to be faithful to Him. That's your calling. And the Lord is the one who determines the success, the outcome, the fruit. The Lord will bring His will to pass. Only be thou faithful, dependent, close to your Lord. The brethren say to you, brothers, represent Him to us. Bring Him to us. Come to us when I'm rebellious. Come to me when I'm anxious. Come to me when I'm weak and I fell back into my sin. Come to me when I don't deserve people to be patient with me. Come to me in His name. Bring me His word. Note the urgency. The text begins. Now we exhort you. Now. Today we exhort you. Take up your labors. Take them up. Warn the unruly. Comfort the anxious. Support the weak. Be patient. Not by putting aside issues, by dealing with them in the patience of the Lord. The brothers and sisters here pledge to you that we will pray for you. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We know that thy word is so vast and so rich and so true, so much more. We pray that thou wilt use what was said and preach to us. Take away all of the dross and mistakes, but bring that word that we may hear the shepherd's voice, that we may hear it as a congregation. Brothers and sisters, we have heard, esteem these men highly. And may now these six men who begin the offices, the work, may they hear the voice of the shepherd. Brothers, warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient to all men. In Jesus' name, amen.